Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we are here to share whatever wisdom we think we might have gotten from God to Catholic dads out there everywhere. And today
we believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world.
What should we do? I interrupted you, or there's a lag, and you, I paused just long enough. Anyway, guys, today we are talking about the kind of things that awakened in a dad, and the calls on fatherhood when atrocities like school shootings happen. As you know, recently, that for us, it was yesterday, you know, I don't know when you're watching this, the Uvalde school shooting happened, and it's just atrocious to see what happens, but that there's an instinct in men and probably in humans in general, but something special inside of a man that awakens when something like that happens, where there's just this need to help, need to protect, that comes up and comes alive. And so we're going to dive into that today in today's episode and several other things, Chris.
Yeah, so I am just still heartbroken. For those of you who don't know my story, I grew up in Littleton, Colorado. And in regards to school shootings, that was one of the original ones in the modern era that really kind of set the pace. And so for what's happening in Uvalde right now, I know that that's going to take years upon years for that community to both heal and recover. And there's a permanence to it. But I'm telling you, ever since that kind of came into my own world, I was 19 years old, maybe 20 years old at the time of the Columbine shooting. Ever since that came into my world, sometimes when I'm sitting in church, I start looking at the exits. I've thought differently ever since that happened. And so it's a big changer. So first and foremost, prayers of a father are strong, right? Like, what can we do right now? Because we all feel a little bit helpless, right? And I don't want you to start thinking about an exit plan or start concealed carry or anything like that. First and foremost, we need to storm heaven for the souls and for the families that are grieving, right? Yeah. Including the family of the shooter. Like, we need to, in a merciful way, have some prayers for the family of the shooter, because that's brutal as well.
Yeah. And when I first heard about it, you know, I was just dumbfounded. And it's so weird. And this may be, you know, some of the, you know, after it having happened, and I say often, you know, but it, more than once is too often. When I found out that it was an elementary school, it was just like, oh, like that was just a gut shot, you know.
Another elementary school.
Yeah.
Right. And when we found, you know, Sandy Hook and And so,
sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, it's hard. Yeah, go. I'll go. So it puts us in a place of helplessness, and I think a lot of times the first response is anger or never again, and then what we end up having is a bunch of let no tragedy go to waste. And I hate the fact that a lot of the different things that I'm seeing right now are not people hitting their knees, but trying to hit the ballot box.
Yeah.
And yes, there's something about governance that should definitely protect its citizens and things of that nature. But there is a human element here that needs to be at the forefront. And there's more, if we all had nuclear weapons in our backyard, like if we just, every citizen got a nuclear weapon and we all had charity in our hearts, it wouldn't matter. You know, and so I'm not trying to pull one side or the other. I'm just saying that sometimes I believe that those conversations are decoy battles to the fact that there is a poverty of relationship that exists in some people in our society. And fatherhood is one of the answers to that poverty. And I want us to call up and lean into that reality first before we start talking about all these other conversations, which I believe are largely decoy battles to the poverty of charity that exists in our society as a whole, but in specific areas of our society as well.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of one of the things that gets awakened, you know, in a dad, or that is just there in a dad, is that problem solver. You know, like we see, like, something happens, you know, whatever it is, and even here at Ablaze, like, we have an issue list that we work through every week, and the first thing that's written is never the issue. It's rarely the issue. That's something else that's affected by the issue that we notice. It's a symptom or it's something else. And I do not in any way, shape, or form want to relegate these school shootings to symptoms. But there is a deeper issue here than just gun rights, you know, or gun possession. There's something much, much more deep, you know, and there's a poverty in the hearts of young people. There's a poverty in our hearts that needs to be addressed. Because that stuff like this, you know, in whatever form it is, whether it's even like just self-medication, young people like taking drugs and drinking way more than they ever should. It's just self-medication for a deeper issue. There's a deeper poverty that's there that fathers have a unique role to meet, even if it's not your kid. And we, right. Like Chris and I both have examples of young people in our lives that come around our house more often than they come around their own house because there's something different about our house. And I think that fatherhood and the parenting that we have is one of those big differences. And they feel loved there.
Yeah. Yeah. So in regards to a potential response is just keep an eye out. And I'm not saying keep an eye out for, oh, I think that kid might end up growing up into a murderer or something like that. But just keep an eye out for areas where you can allow your fatherhood to spill over beyond your own family, right? Because that's what God the Father did. He loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus. And that was a sacrificial offering, right? And that wasn't
just for... Yeah, and he could have just loved that son, you know? He could have just loved that son.
He called us to be children. He called us to be his children through Christ. And so there is something about God the Father modeling what it means to extend our own fatherhood in a profound way that can change the world. But that was a sacrificial gift. God the Father first offered his son before Jesus offered his life. And so the initial sacrifice came from God the Father gifting his son to the world. And so a sacrificial love on behalf of a father has changed the world, and it can still change the world today. And I'm not saying, actually, I do want to say, I think that if there was a better father in the life of the shooter, that things would have been different. I'm not saying that that's the sole factor or anything like that. But I do want to say that things would have been different if there was a better father in the life of the shooter. And I think that goes across the board, generally speaking. You can look at the those who have been shooters in those type of mass shootings and see that there was a poverty of a male father figure in their life, typically.
And I would say if young people don't have multiple fathers in their life, then there's a poverty in their life. I look at my boys. I've got three boys, and they have, I mean, like honestly, they probably have four or five fathers that are active in their life. Three of them that know them really well, you know. And right. So my sons get to see and be loved by at least three fathers. And I love that. Like now their father is different, you know, but like still they have fathers in their life. And so even if you see someone who you know has a good dad, they still need you. You know, they still need another one. You know, they still need other good, you know, fathers in their life other than just their dad.
Yeah. So let's pause for just a moment and talk about, okay, so now you have children and it's summer break, but like when fall semester starts up, like you're going to send them to school again.
Yeah.
Like that's the reality, right? How do you deal with that fact? Or should you even sit down and talk with your children about this? Like how do you navigate this Uvalde situation with your own kids? What are your thoughts?
So I have this, you know, dad fail moment. It's funny that like I think about dad fails at different times, but I had never talked to my kids about anything like that. You know, if someone comes in to a room and you know they're a bad person or whatever, like and starts shooting, what do you do? My kids have never even had that conversation. Right. Isaac, my youngest son, joins karate. And that's one of the first things that his karate teacher taught him, you know, was, I think it was scatter, like this phrase scatter. And he knew to run to the, you know, to run like to the edges of the room or whatever and hide under something. Like that, the very first thing that they taught him. Now, I'm sure that there are a lot of other things, a lot of other ways to teach him, but it was like in that moment, I was like, you know what? I've never taught my kids what to do in a situation right. like that. You know, and I don't know if it's because of comfort, like I'm so comfortable, it doesn't happen. I haven't felt the need to do it. Or if it's like, I don't want to make them scared. I don't want to make them afraid. You know, I bet it's a combination of those two things, which is why I don't, you know, talk to my kids about stuff like that.
And it's like my role as protector and my role as provider, right? So I want to protect them from being afraid, but I want to provide them with the resources to keep themselves safe if they find themselves in that situation. But in doing so, I won't protect them from being afraid. I introduce, you know, like there's a balance there. And I think it's an age appropriate balance. Yep. But at the same time, like I don't want my kids to be scared to go to school. I don't. Yep. And honestly, I don't think they should statistically be scared of going to school. But when Parkland, Florida, they interviewed some people after that high school shooting. And one of the kids said, well, with as frequent as shootings are happening, I knew it was a matter of when this would happen at our school, not if it would happen at our school. Wow. And so some of these young people are going to school assuming that there's going to be some violence perpetrated on the school or on them at some point. Yeah. Like they just assume that that's what it means to go to school now. And that is heart-wrenching. And yes. that's insane, right? To think that that's the assumption. And again, media makes, if something happens in New Jersey, it feels like it happened in your neighborhood because of the way news and word travels nowadays. And that's not a bad thing, but it can be a very scary thing for adolescents and below. And so helping our kids navigate that reality, maybe giving them a tool to be like, yes, you need to scatter. And now you have a response. And then they're like, okay, I am armed with a response. Now I know that I can do this if this happens. And maybe they feel more comfortable and confident going into schooling situations.
Yeah. And maybe it does the opposite of instilling fear because they're equipped, because they, like, not all of them, but many of them see the news or will hear about it from their friends. So you're not protecting right. them from the information if you don't talk to them about it, because they're going to get the information. Depending on their age, they're going to get the information. It's like,
right.
And then like, I feel like ignoring it may communicate something to your kids that you don't want to communicate, that you should right. be afraid of it. Like, we're not going to talk about it because I'm afraid of it. And I think talking about it may actually do the opposite. It may show that I'm not afraid of this, or like we need to be adequately, you know, afraid of this. But we also need to, like, when stuff like this happens, we need to, you know, face it with courage, you know. And what does that courage looks like? It looks like scatter, you know, or whatever it looks like, you know. And I know that there are, like, my guess is that almost every city that people live in that's a decent size, there are self-defense classes. There are places you can go that will actually train you on what to do if there's an active shooter. And there's probably plenty of videos, you know, online. I haven't done any research on that or anything like that, but there are things that young people should do. And I know there are schools that actually train, you know, their students on this, and they have those drills instead of, like, and in addition to fire drills, they have drills, which it almost sounds terrifying, but again, it equips them for
lockdown drills. Yep.
Yeah. You know, like the lockdown, yep. like you said. Yeah.
But here's the deal. When we were growing up, we were familiar with the phrase stranger danger. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't want my kids to think stranger mass shooter.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's, that, I don't want them to see every stranger as someone who could potentially create extreme violence. Because if you were at a park or a playground and you can't find mom or dad, literally go up to any adult, whether you know them or not, and 99.999999% of them are going to help you. And the other 0.01% of them are just going to ignore you. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to kidnap you or anything like that. Like, the reality is I don't want my kids to be afraid of other people, because at the end of the day, society largely wants to help its members out. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
But these situations, these shootings, Uvalde and situations like that, make it seem like everyone out there is a monster.
Yeah.
And that's a lie. And that needs redeemed.
Absolutely. And like what you're saying, like, stuff like this sows distrust, you know, in a society. And that's right. exactly what you're talking about. Like, I can't trust you. You know, I can't trust the other person, whoever they are. because they may be that person, you know, and like you were talking about sending your kids, like if your kids get lost, I think my wife has always told them, find a mom with kids, go to a mom with kids and ask her for help. And it's like, well, what about a dad with kids? What's wrong with dads? You know, but for some reason,
moms are easier to find. I mean,
moms are easier to find.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And little kids, it's easier for little kids to trust moms. There's just something like, and that's the motherly thing about, that's what makes moms unique. But anyway, you're right. You know, that one of the things in that same karate class that my son learned was that not all strangers are bad. And the teacher, like they even had a drill for this. He said, if a stranger's walking up to you, you know, what's the first thing you do? And they said, they said the wrong thing first, but he taught them to say, stop, like very strongly and forcefully. And he's like, okay, if that stranger stops and turns around and walks away, are they a good stranger or a bad stranger? And they're like, good. If they keep walking forward, then you know it's a bad stranger. You know, and so that was like the way to test strangers. I don't know, we've gone off on a tangent, but I just love that my kids are getting equipped to deal with situations that could be very stressful for someone in their age and their size.
Well, they also say to give them your name. I know that sounds really weird as a little kid to be able to say, my name's Chris, because people don't want to hurt people that they know, right? Yeah. This is why we don't name cows that we turn into hamburgers, right? Like you just don't name the pigs, don't name the chickens, you guys. Just don't name those animals. Because it all of a sudden becomes personal. And that says something about the way humans are innately created to care for and journey with each other. Yeah. And I think that we as dads need to model that because you've seen this. You've seen dads at a park or a playground or whatever. And I've been that dad where there's a handful of dads sitting in the shade, staring at their cell phones or catching up on their ESPN app or whatever. And then there's one or two dads out there playing with a ball in the middle of the field or in the park. And every kid at the playground is over there with those dads trying to play. I mean, it's not, you're not my kid. Yeah. I've been at the pool and random kids are hanging on me because I'm playing pool monster. I don't know these kids, but I'm like, well, you're here. So I'm going to throw you just like I threw the other kid. There's something contagious about community when a dad is involved and I'm a stranger to those kids, but they know that I'm good. They know because of my fatherhood that I'm good and that I'm safe. And so we need a model that we can care because it really does. They say it takes a village to raise a child. And I think that is largely lost. And this generation, Gen Z, that we're journeying with our children's age, they're a part of what's called the loneliest generation.
Yeah.
Like in regards to high scores, they're the number one in regards to feeling alone, feeling isolated, depression, and suicidal ideations. Like that's this generation of our kids.
Yeah.
And they've been isolated with screens, but they've also been isolated in the midst of a pandemic and all these different things. And I don't want to say that this is a fruit of it, but I do want to say that this is a concern in the midst of it. And fatherhood is part of the answer. So, but in the other aspect of it, if your kids are asking about Uvalde, I would encourage fathers to first hit our knees and pray.
Yep.
Let's pray for those families. Let's pray for these people. This is tragic. This is hard. This shouldn't happen in our society. And it largely doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. There's thousands upon thousands of schools yesterday that did not have a school shooting.
Yeah.
And there was one that did. Right. And yes, they're more frequent than they used to be. However, they're still pretty darn infrequent. So schools are still largely a safe place. However, we need to pray for those who make them unsafe.
Yeah. When you say hit your knees, like do that like in an obvious way with your kids. You know, this is an opportunity.
That's why I mean pray together as a family. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's an opportunity to show your kids how we respond to this. You know, what do we do? The first response is prayer. And my kids learn it in other small ways too. Like when we're driving down the road and we see an ambulance or we see an accident, we all say a Hail Mary. You know, that's how we respond to tragedy is by lifting it to God, like praying to God for safety, for everything, you know, for the people involved, all that stuff. And it's fun when your kids start to do that on their own. I forget who it was. Someone was walking with my daughter and she heard a siren and on her own, my daughter just did it. Like she's 7 years old, you know, on her own without any cue from mom or dad. And this is not a cue from the adult that she was with. She made right. the sign of the cross and stopped where she was and prayed, you know, and that's like, that's the kind of response we want to instill in our kids.
I was coaching my daughter's soccer team, and I may have told you this story before, but I mean, it's just the rec league, you know, the city soccer team or whatever, and an ambulance drove by. And my daughter, who was like 6 years old at the time, starts gathering all the kids. Come on, come on. Okay, we heard the ambulance. Hail Mary, full of grace. And she just starts leading the team. And I mean, there were two other Catholics on the team, but they were six. They didn't really know the Hail Mary. And everyone else was kind of looking around. I was like, sweetheart, that's so very sweet. I will pray one on the car ride home. You know, it was just,
yeah.
It was the best. It was, I was so proud.
That's how we teach our kids that. Is when we're faced with tragedy like this, we turn to the Lord. And it teaches our kids to do the exact same thing. You know, when they're faced with tragedy, they know who to turn to. And that's our job, is to point them to Him. And so that's, yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Okay, so to kind of bring the conversation back, first things first is there is a, if fatherhood is a solution to the problem, maybe not a comprehensive solution, but a solution. And letting our kids know that they are still safe, like that's part of our fatherhood. And then in regards to on a spiritual level, to pray not just for this situation, but also with our kids for this situation. Those are kind of three kind of points that we've made so far.
Yeah. And this may be a shorter episode than normal. We just wanted to get something out soon, you know, and quickly and respond to this so that we could give something, like put something in the hands of dads out there, like who are or having to navigate this right now.
Yeah. The other piece I want to talk about is I want you to have a conversation, dads, with your spouse. I want you to talk about how do you feel about this? What's going through your heart? Just to allow processing to take place. Because I don't want every time my wife kisses my kids as they go to school, you know, to her feel like this is the last time I'm ever going to see him. And then thank God I got a second chance. Thank God I got a second chance. Like, I want us to really live in a way that builds our family and grows our family, not tries and keeps the family together one last time, because that's just a different approach. Like, our goal in regards to fatherhood and raising children is to make a lasting impact on society. And I think that mentality is different than a goodbye kiss to where you feel like it's the last time you're ever going to be able to see your kids. And so to be able to provide that sense of purpose and meaning in our rearing of our children, especially partnering with our spouse, as opposed to, oh, thank God we got to see you for another day. That'd be a really weird situation as a child to receive that from mom and dad.
Yeah. But it also, you know, should awaken, you know, the how fleeting life is to us. You know, life is short. And for us to always assume that there's going to be a tomorrow. And so we're lazy today. Like, that's something I run into with my kids all the time is like, hey, dad, you know, can we go shoot hoops? Oh, I'll do it later. Like, what if there isn't a later? You know, get off your freaking butt and go play some basketball, you know?
Interesting.
And so there's a fine line there that we need to walk. You know, one is being fearful every time they leave. Two is taking the opportunities that come your way to invest in your kids, spend time with your kids. And, you know, making sure that, I don't know, that like, I, this is a random thought, but like I'm getting on a 24-hour flight tomorrow. I'm going to confession today. I'm going to confession today because I'm not risking, you know, something like that. I'm going to be fine, you know, but that like I'm not going to risk eternity, you know, for that. And so the same kind of thing is I want to make sure everything's right, you know, before I leave. I want to make even before my kids leave for school, I want to make sure everything's right, you know, not that I'm doing it out of fear, but I don't want to leave any. Does that make sense? Am I making sense, people?
Yes. I think it's called the eternal perspective, to recognize that ultimately we're going to die. And maybe this is a good conversation to point towards that. But I don't know. It's age appropriate. But remember, begin with the end in mind is different than beginning with the end, assuming that the end happens today, right?
Totally different.
But knowing that the end will happen and we know neither the time nor the place, this is a good reminder of it. So listen, Matt and I are not experts in regards to it, but we are bringing on an expert over at Ablaze Families. If you have Instagram, there's going to be a recorded video. We're going to have that up on our Instagram feed where we bring a counselor on, and we're going to actually talk to them live and ask them some questions. Again, by the time you're seeing this, it's already been recorded, but how do you talk to your kids about these things? There's resources out there, and we're finding one over at Ablaze Families.
Yeah, we'll make sure and post that in the comments below of this video so y'all have access to it.
This was a heavy episode, you guys. Thank you for joining us. We do believe that fatherhood can change the world, and this is a great example of how fathers can stand up and lean in, even when it's hard or seemingly scary. This is definitely navigating the unknown, but we encourage not if you talk to your kids about it, but how you talk to your kids about it. Journey with them in regards to this school shooting situation in Uvalde.
And like we said, it takes a village. If you are having a hard time finding a village of your own, you know, for your own personal support in your community, you can find that community on the village. It's ablaze.us/thevillage. You can sign in there. And I know that there are parents, there are families in there that are sharing and talking about this and other topics as well. It's a great place to digest some of this stuff and learn from other parents.
Last but not least, please like and subscribe. I know typically we're laughing a lot more during this episode. It was definitely a more somber episode. Check out some of our other ones to put a smile on your face after today's show. And like and subscribe and share it with at least one other person. I think it's an important topic. So dads, support dads by sharing this.
Amen. All right, you guys have a great week. God bless.
God bless you.